Section 2. You will hear an extract from a talk about clocks. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 and 12. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 and 12.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. And this week, we're talking about famous objects, and in particular, clocks. And in the studio with us is Dylan Rees, a man with a passion for clocks.
Thanks, Chris. Well, I've always been fascinated by clocks, and in particular, I like public clocks. For me, they represent everything that is good about a society: civic pride, social stability, and a sense of community. If you forget your watch one morning, or you can't afford a watch for that matter, you can always rely on there being a public clock somewhere nearby to help you out. By definition, such clocks are designed to be noticed, so they tend to be in prominent positions, such as church towers, railway stations, or other tall buildings. Sometimes they function as advertisements too, and so far, nobody has found a way of charging you to use them. Unlike digital clocks, which just show the time as a set of boring electronic numbers, the hands on the face of a clock represent time itself by moving round. Others announce the time by making some kind of noise.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 13 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 13 to 20.
For today's programme, I've selected four clocks from four different countries to share with you. I suppose the most famous clock has to be the clock tower at the northeast end of the Houses of Parliament in Westminster in London. Most people know it as Big Ben, but this is actually only a nickname for the main bell rather than the clock itself. The clock first went into service in September 1859. The main bell, which weighs 13.8 tons, is the biggest bell in England. It rings every hour on the hour. It also has four smaller bells, which ring on the quarter hour. You find it on things like postcards, biscuit tins, tourist brochures, and I think that's what I love about it, the fact that it's so very well known. My next clock is very different and certainly much smaller. You'll find it in the suburb of Gastown in Vancouver in Canada. It's unusual in that it's powered by steam and is known quite simply as the steam clock. The steam comes from a system of pipes running under the ground, which also provide heating for many of the buildings in the square. It's based on an original design dating back to 1875, but the clock itself is relatively new, as it was only built and first used in 1977. Although it doesn't look like Big Ben, it does play the famous Westminster chimes every hour. And every quarter hour, a loud whistle sounds, so you won't have to wait long to hear it. At night time, you can see steam rising from the top of the clock, and it's certainly more impressive at night than during the day, but I always find it charming. One of my real favourites is the magnificent clock in the cathedral in Strasbourg in France. The actual clock mechanism was constructed in 1842 by Swiss watchmakers, but there were other craftsmen involved in its construction. Not only does it show the time, it also shows time passing. Every day at 12:30, the clock puts on a special show depicting the story of our human journey. It does this with four different characters. First, you see the figure of a child move onto the stage, followed by a teenager. Then the adult makes his appearance, and finally an old man. For me, it's not just a clock, it's a work of art. My last clock is in Tehran in Iran, very different from the others we've looked at because it's not in a tower or on a building. It's called the Flower Clock, and it sits in a prominent position on a hill in a park, visible from the highway. It was built in 2005 and is the largest of its type in the world. It measures 15 metres across and weighs 750 kilograms. Being in such an exposed position in the open air, it has to withstand all weather conditions, rain, snow and wind. The mechanism's controlled by a computer, with a separate motor for each hand, guaranteed to operate with minimum error. I like it because it's such an unusual design.
That is the end of section two. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section three.